Luke 23. We're going to begin our reading at verse 35 and then read through verse 43 of this chapter. Luke 23, beginning at verse 35. What we hear now is God's word. And the people stood by, watching. But the rulers scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, we began last week looking forward to the celebration and commemoration of Jesus' death and resurrection. We are looking at Jesus' words from the cross, those last seven words that he spoke as they directed the attention of the crowds around him, as they are spoken for us as well today. We looked last week at that first word from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." A word of forgiveness, that God might bring them to recognize the greatness of their sin, what they had done, and bring them to repentance and to faith. This morning we look at the second word from the cross. That second word, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." It is a word of hope. It is a word of promise. A word of promise spoken to one of those who was there with Jesus on that crucifixion day. There with Jesus hanging on a cross as well next to him. A word of promise to him, but also a word of hope and promise to us. That Jesus would take this one to be with him on that day. And we gather today with the same hope and confidence that for all who confess Jesus Christ, he will take us to be with him in paradise. We see that on this day, in this part of the story, there are two very different requests made of Jesus from two very different men with two very different hearts and motivations. We have the first criminal, the one who is simply following along with what's going on around him. We read that there were those who were there, the people were standing and watching, the rulers were scoffing at Jesus. The soldiers were mocking Jesus. And this criminal who was being crucified along with Jesus joins in with the mocking, joins in with the crowd. And he says to Jesus, "Save yourself. If you are the Christ, save yourself and us as well." It was not a request spoken in faith. It was not a request that, "Jesus, I know who you are and I know what you can do." It was a self-serving request. This man recognized that his life was very quickly coming to an end. There seemed to be nothing left he could do, and they claimed this one next to him could save himself. That was the call again and again, save yourself. The crowd said, save yourself. The soldiers, save yourself. And so this man too says, save yourself. Oh, and while you're at it, if you can do that, then save me too. Take me along with you. It was a self-serving and self-motivated request. Not made out of true faith, not believing that Jesus actually could do what he said he could do, not believing he was the Christ of God, the chosen one, in spite of the inscription written above him, the King of the Jews. But this man simply joins in with the crowd. Are you not the Christ? Save yourselves and save us too. In contrast to that, we have the other criminal who found himself in exactly the same situation as the first man. He too was condemned to die. He too was hanging on a cross. He too crucified next to Jesus. And yet this man's heart and this man's request is completely opposite of the first criminal, with a completely different type of request. He begins by acknowledging his own guilt. The first criminal says, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. The other rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. This man recognized he deserved to be there. He was on the cross because of what he had done. He doesn't claim his innocence. He doesn't claim that there's been a mistake made someplace. The judicial system didn't work right. We are here justly, properly under this sentence of condemnation. We are receiving the due reward of our deeds. This criminal recognizes the truth of the situation, that he has properly been condemned and is receiving the results of his own deeds. He begins by acknowledging his own guilt and acknowledging Jesus' innocence. He says, we are receiving the just reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. And in saying those words, he spoke far more than he could ever have imagined. The criminal, referring to the fact that Jesus was not deserving of death, somehow recognizing, perhaps he had been there and heard part of the trial, that Jesus was not the one who they said he was. He was not the criminal. He had done nothing wrong, nothing to deserve the penalty that he was now being given. But he spoke far beyond what he knew, because Jesus was not only innocent of any crime worthy of death by persecution, but he was completely innocent. He had done nothing wrong. His entire life had been a life of perfection. His entire life had been a life lived in pursuit of the glory of God and following his will. Not only was he not deserving of death because of any crime, but he had done nothing wrong his entire life. A confession of the perfection of Jesus Christ. I say this man spoke far beyond what his own words knew. He confesses his own guilt, he confesses Jesus' innocence, and then he makes his request. We are receiving our sentence justly. He has done nothing wrong. And then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I find it striking. He doesn't ask to be saved. He doesn't ask to be taken down from the cross. The first man had said, hey, if you can save yourself, then save us too. This man doesn't ask that Jesus take him down from the cross. But rather, Jesus, remember me. Remember. In the Jewish mind, the concept of remembrance was much more than just recalling an event. He's not saying, Jesus, recall this event that you and I hung next to each other on this crucifixion day. But the idea is to remember for our good. Remember for our good. We think of the Old Testament, the story of Noah and the flood. And God brings the flood waters. And then the text says, and God remembered Noah. And God goes on to rescue Noah and bring him out of the flood event. To remember for good. We think of the story of Joseph. When Joseph is put in prison, and there are those men in prison with him, and Joseph interprets the dreams of these other men, and they're going to be released, and Joseph says to them, when you get out, remember me. Remember me. Remember for good. That's his request to Jesus. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He's looking far off in the future, recognizing Jesus is who he says he is. He is this anointed, this Messiah, this one who will come in glory. So he says, someday, Lord, someday when you come into your kingdom, then remember me for good. Later, far down the road, please remember me in that later time when you come in your kingdom. And in light of that request, we see the beauty of Jesus' response. A response that gives this man immediate assurance of what Jesus will do. The man had said, someday, Jesus, remember me. And Jesus says, today. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Today, in spite of how things look around us, in spite of the fact that we're both hanging here on crosses to be killed, today, in spite of the crowds jeering, in spite of what is coming, our impending death, but today, you will be with me. Not an answer that, yeah, sometime off in the future, I will remember. Not later, but today. And Jesus affirms this with this oath-type language. Truly I say unto you, this is, you can be sure. I'm telling you the truth. I'm giving you my word. Truly I say to you, today, it's going to happen. The assurance of the Word of God. You can count on it. It's not just a hopeful wish, but it's a word of promise. A word of immediate assurance. Today, you will be with me. What a glorious word of hope and promise for that criminal with his impending death. Knowing the pain he would be going through, knowing the torment of the crucifixion that still lay ahead of him, and yet the promise of Jesus that today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus does not make him wait. God is the same with us. He does not make us wait when we turn to Him in repentance and faith. When we come to realize the nature and penalty of our sin, that we are justly under the condemnation of God, we have offended His glory, we have broken His law, we have not lived as He's called us to live, we are under a death sentence, and justly so, because we have not done what God has asked us to do. And when we recognize that, and we recognize that God's standard is perfection, and we say, but we can't do that. Lord, we have fallen short of Your glory. Lord Jesus, remember me. God doesn't make us wait. He doesn't say, I'll get back to you next week about that. He doesn't say, you've come to recognize your sin and your foulness and the condemnation and wonder what you find yourself, and I'll think about that for a while to see if I might remember you for good. No, when we turn to God in repentance and faith, then today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that God hears the cries of His people. We read that earlier in Psalm 28. God does not turn a deaf ear to us. God does not say, I'll get back to you. But whenever we call out in repentance and faith, whenever we confess our sin before Him, we hear these words, today, today you will be with me. The promise of forgiveness is not something that God makes us wait for, hoping that maybe someday He will answer. Oh, this first criminal, he had maybe this idea, possibly God could do something. If you are the king, then do something for me. But the second one asks in earnestness, in brokenness of heart, I recognize I'm here justly under condemnation. Jesus, remember me sometime later, and the answer is today. If you have come today, if you recognize your sin, the fact that we are justly under the condemnation of God, and you turn to God in repentance and faith and say, Lord, what can I do? I see Your perfection, I see Your glory, and we've fallen short of that. Lord God, remember me. Then you can be sure His response is today. Today is the day of your salvation. An immediate assurance of what God will do for you because of what He has done for you in Jesus Christ. For all who call on Him, today is the day of salvation. We read that Jesus says to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me. Jesus promises this man His personal presence. You will be with me in paradise. The man had simply asked to be remembered. But Jesus says, oh, it's beyond that. You will be with me. You will be with me when I do come in my kingdom. You will be with me today in paradise. And isn't that the glory of knowing God? To know that every day, by the power of His Spirit, He is with us. God's presence going with us day by day, by day. Jesus has gone, He's returned back to heaven, but He sent His Spirit down to earth, God Himself with us, that we could be continually assured God's personal presence. What a comfort for that man on the cross, knowing what would come ahead for him. But Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise, the presence of God. That same comfort God gives to us today. No, Jesus is no longer here with us. He has gone back into heaven. But still, the presence of God with His people. We sang before the reading of God's Word this morning, we sang a setting of Psalm 23. That beautiful psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul, guides me in paths of righteousness. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "Because you are with me." This man knew the reality of that psalm. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." God gives us that same assurance today. That no matter what is happening in the week to come, no matter what is happening today, no matter what challenges we might face, whether they be great or small, God is with us. Do you enter this week concerned about the future? Anxious about various things that perhaps are on your schedules? What might happen here? What might happen there? We go into the week knowing that God Himself has promised His personal presence by the power of His Holy Spirit. He is with us. Jesus said to the man, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." And we know that that meant that Jesus would take this man to be with him in the glories of heaven. That word of promise came true for him on that very day. But the same is true for us. We don't have to wait to be with the Lord in the sweet by and by. Because right now, He's with us. I find it striking that the man was still crucified. The man still died. Had Jesus failed in His word, "You will be with me"? No, Jesus had done exactly what He said He would do. Even though the man went through the trial, he was taken to be with the Lord in paradise. Just because we know the presence of the Holy Spirit, just because we know God is with us, does not mean everything is going to go well. And it does not mean that every trial God is going to take us out of. But it does mean every trial that we go through, He goes through with us. "I am with you. I go with you in the difficulties. I go with you in the trials. I go with you in the frustrations. I go with you in the anxieties." God's personal presence in our times of trial and tragedy. What a wonderful promise. Truly I say to you, a word of promise from God Himself. That as we prepare to leave God's house on this Lord's Day, as we prepare to go into the week ahead, we don't do it alone, in our own strength. But we go knowing the God who is with us, a promise for today. Do you know that assurance? Do you know that promise? Can you say, "I know He is with me. I know no matter what happens, God is going to go with me into the coming week. And I'm going to rely upon Him and trust in Him because He is perfect. I am fallen." We turn to the Lord and say, "Jesus, remember me." It's important for us to turn to Him today with that hope and confidence. You know, we often talk about the thief on the cross as a wonderful message of hope for those who have lived in their lives away from the Lord. But I sometimes think we make the thief on the cross almost a paradigm for what salvation should look like. That it's okay for you to live as long as you can and as long as you want away from the Lord. And then on that very last minute, like the thief on the cross, turn to Him. Jesus, remember me and have this word of promise. But the thief on the cross is not a paradigm for salvation. Were it not for God's providence and God's electing love, this man would not have been crucified next to Jesus, but a different day, next to a different criminal, and would have spent eternity away from Him. No, the word of promise for us today is not to say, well, I can wait to confess my sins and to place my trust in Him. It's a reminder that at any time we could face the trial and tragedy of death. And so today is the day. Today is the day of salvation. How do you approach Jesus today? As that first criminal, going along with the crowd, mocking Him, standing by, scoffing at Him. Well, if you are who you say you are, then save yourself. Oh, and by the way, if you can help me, give me a little help too. Or as the second man, we stand condemned justly under God's righteous condemnation. He is perfect. He has done nothing wrong. Lord Jesus, remember us when you come into your kingdom. If that is your prayer, then I can assure you from the Word of God, today, starting today, you will be with me now and in eternity in paradise. A word of promise for you. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, how we thank You for Your holy word. A word which is true, a word which is right, a word that we can trust. We thank You for the story of salvation. That for all who turn to You in repentance and faith, that word is today. Lord God, if there are those here who have never turned their hearts to You, never acknowledged their own sin, would You today work by the power of Your Spirit to bring them to faith and repentance in Jesus Christ? If there are those of us who have been putting off that wholehearted confession of who we are and who He is, may today be the day that we recognize Jesus is the King of His people. He is the Redeemer and the Savior. Oh God, may that be how we leave Your house today. Prepared and strengthened because of what You have done by the power of Your Spirit today. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.